Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Morning. You all right? How you doing? It is Tuesday, the 6th of January in the year of our Lord, 2025. 26, rather. Let's get the year right. How are you all this morning? We just got a few technical issues going on this morning, so we're just a couple of minutes late and some light issues, but I think it's all sorted now. So teething problems, nobody's perfect. Today then, I thought we'll just jump straight into the news without too much of a preamble. Let's just let you know what's going on in the world. What's the world talking about? That's what we all need to know first thing in the morning, don't we, before we can get on with our normal lives. OK, so first of all, the newspapers in the UK, I'll just say today, I decided I'm going to, when I do like the world roundup, I'm going to go the other way around the world, head west, go straight to the United States after the UK, because I think a lot of the audience are UK and US based. So it just makes more sense that don't keep the US folks waiting till sort of the end of the stream. Pardon me. So we're going to do that. I do beg your pardon. All right, so let's have a look at the UK papers. The two big stories are that Maduro saying that he's a prisoner of war. So, first of all, to say, like yesterday, the vast majority of the news is still around the Trump-Maduro-Venezuela affair. But also that Man United, the football team, Man United, sacked their manager because they're... Well, very nearly said the S word then. Got to be careful not to swear. This isn't the state of politics. Man United are crap. Can I say crap? Are bad. They're not very good anymore. And they're in a bit of turmoil. So the big stories basically in the UK are that Maduro's claiming he's a prisoner of war. And that Amorim chap, who's the manager of Man United, has been sacked. Okay, so let's have a look. The Daily Telegraph. I am a prisoner of war. Maduro. You know what, it makes me think, it puts me in mind of, it's the same defence a lot of tyrants have used, or not necessarily, don't necessarily have to be full-blown tyrants, but a lot of rulers have used throughout the centuries even, just sort of refusing to recognise the authority of the court that's trying them. A few examples springs. Well, a classic one was Saddam Hussein, after he was deposed, they put him on trial in Iraq, you know, in an Iraqi court. And his whole defence the whole time pretty much was, you've got no right to try me. I am like the legit ruler of Iraq, and you as a court have got no legitimacy. Everything that's happened since the US invasion of my country, Iraq, that all that was crazy illegal nonsense. And you're caught, you're nothing. You know, I think Noriega, if anyone remembers Noriega back in the day, that happened when I was very, very young. I've read tons about Noriega, fascinated by the Panama thing and Noriega, but I don't actually remember it myself. Clearly, I was too young. But anyone out there who's old enough to remember. I'm pretty sure that was Noriega's defense. They captured him, took him back to the US and put him in prison forever. He said the same thing when in trial, saying, you've got no right to try me. I'm the ruler of Panama, and you sort of, you know, illegally invaded me and took me hostage, kidnapped me, whatever. All of these proceedings are non-legit. So it looks like probably Maduro's going to use that defence, but it never really works. Right? It didn't work for Noriega, didn't work for Saddam in Iraq. King Charles I, classic case, right? Going back to the 17th century, when the Puritans and Oliver Cromwell and his cabal put Charles I on trial for being the man of blood, for declaring war and fighting a war against his own people, getting a Catholic army from Ireland to fight Englishmen, right? That was sort of among his crimes. He said the same thing. I don't recognise the court. You've got no right to try me for anything. You cannot do that. Well, they did anyway. That argument very rarely works. When you're in the hands of a power, that was a thing King Charles said, you know, I recognise you as a power, you know, not a legit one, certainly not one that's got any power over me, but you are a power. It doesn't really work. It's probably almost certainly not going to work. So Maduro was in court yesterday. And, yeah, it was sort of reasonably interesting events. Someone heckled him from the crowd, you know, like a disgruntled Venezuelan expat. There are a fair few of them, aren't there? Let's be honest. Like, if nothing else, Maduro did ruin the country. Even if the southern state, the people in the prosecutors in New York can't make something stick, and I'm pretty sure they probably will. Who knows? But I suspect they absolutely will. But even if they can't, there's no doubt, is there, that history will condemn him as having ruined Venezuela or completing Chavez's project of ruining Venezuela. But yeah, they were only in court sort of fairly briefly, as I understand. It wasn't like the beginning of the trial. You know how these things go. They were just there to appear, confirm their names, confirm who they are. And I think was it enter an innocent or guilty plea. And he pleaded, first of all, tried to say the court isn't legit, and then that he's innocent anyway. He's innocent of all these crimes they've accused him of. Of which there is quite, there is a laundry list. It is quite long. But we'll see how it goes. I'll be following it. I'll be following it more closely than the Diddy trial, for example, which I followed reasonably closely. Every now and again, there's a trial, isn't there, that you want to follow very closely. I remember when OJ was on trial. I was quite young. I can't remember. I was like 13 or 14 or something. And they used to show it. I'm not sure if it's exactly live, but they used to show it every night, really late at night in the UK. And I remember following that. I had a TV in my bedroom for the first time when I was about that age. And I just remember staying up really late. Ruined my sleep patterns forever. It was never the same after the OJ trial. Okay, so Maduro's claiming he's a prisoner of war. And remember, Rubio said, we are not at war. Well, he says they're at war with the drug traffickers and the drug cartel people, but not at war with the state of Venezuela. I mean, a little bit of a grey area, isn't it? If you send in sort of a giant special forces raid, well, things that constitute an actual war. You know, like, because even conflicts like Vietnam, for example, like a 10-year long, fairly bitter war, was still not technically a war. It was like a conflict. For something to rise to the full-blown level of sort of technically a war, the Venezuelan thing doesn't really reach that, I don't think. But nonetheless, it's difficult to describe it as something else when bombs are going off and attack helicopters are flying around and special forces teams are doing crazy stuff. Okay, what else have we got on the Telegraph? NHS app to fast-track prostate diagnoses. There's one of the other things in the headlines today, in the news cycle today, in Britain at least, is a little bit of NHS reform that's going through. I'm sure we'll get to that in later papers. Reeves blocks cash for struggling pubs. Yeah, this seems to be in the news a fair bit. I've obviously looked at all the headlines this morning and done a little bit of research this morning. And there's some sort of backtracking on funding or state monies that were going to be given to pubs. Struggling pubs. It looks like Reeves is backtracking on that, or blocking it, however you want to describe that. It's funny, isn't it? It seems like the regime, like the modern wokeist globalist regime, among various things they like and don't like and patterns of behaviour they seem to do, one of the things they seem to detest is pubs. We know that the Islamophiles and actual Islamists obviously hate pubs because they're teetotal. I think it's part of that thing where they know what nativists like, and so they hate it. I think it's difficult to think of it in much other way. To try and ruin publicans, to try and close as many pubs as possible and try and ruin them and just keep adding more and more tax to alcohol. I mean, I'm not a big drinker myself, I must say. Like, not at all, really. I'm not teetotal. I'll have a drink, you know, at Christmas, have a drink. Every now and again, go out to the pub. But I'm not a big drinker. I certainly don't drink every day. I don't keep alcohol at home in my own fridge or anything like that. But if people want to drink, it shouldn't be sort of, I don't think, it should be something that like the state sort of tries to make as difficult as possible and as expensive as possible. Well, but there you go. Maybe perhaps if Nige gets in, because we all know Nige loves a Bev, doesn't he? Not Bev Turner. I don't know about their relationship. A beverage. He loves a beverage. So maybe Nige will reduce all the taxes a bit on booze. I don't know. Stop trying, like actively trying to destroy pubs. Get them turned into mosques or whatever. Islamic centres. Whatever they really are. Okay, let's have a look. What else? The Times. Where are we going with the Times? Defiant Maduro tells US court, I am a prisoner of war. Yeah, as you can see, a lot of papers will be going with the same thing. That's the thing, actually, isn't it? That's a general point to make, I think. How often papers that are supposed to have completely different owners and editorial teams, they'll go with the exact same thing. That's interesting, isn't it? That's interesting how that happens. Well, sometimes it's obvious, right? Some days it'll be obvious that there's one massive, massive, massive headline. In fact, today, actually, ironically, despite the point I'm just about to make, might be sort of one of those days where it's sort of the obvious, the main thing of what a headline will be. Nonetheless, often to go with the exact same thing, sometimes the exact same wording. I saw Elon do a tweet about this just the other day. I mean, he's not the first one to have noticed. It's been the case for years and years and years that lots and lots and lots of newspapers, and not just the actual physical newspapers, but the media organs on their websites and stuff, will go with the exact same thing. Almost the exact same thing. And it suggests, doesn't it? It does suggest that they're in cahoots with each other, that it's really one big cabal, media cabal. It's always interesting to see when some papers just go completely against the grain, right? They didn't get the memo, like the Sun, say, or the Mirror, or the Star, or something, or even the Mail. Or something like that. They go with something completely different. They're not interested in what the cabal want to push that day. All right, what else we got? Oh yeah, okay. So drivers over 70 to face compulsory eyesight test. Yeah, this is in the news a bit today in Britain. I don't see anything wrong with that. Why leave it till 70? I mean, I'm not in favour of giant bureaucracies for their own sake. I'm not in favour of red tape, right? I'm a conservative with a small c. I've got libertarian leanings. I'd like to see the smallest state possible. I'd like to see as little interference as possible. But something like that, can't really complain, right? If we're going to live in a society where there's sort of endless red tape and hoops you have to jump through, why not make sure that old people that drive can actually see properly? Why not throw that on top of the pile then, if we're going to live in this sort of nanny state? Because it's not that rare that you see there's some sort of terrible car crash and it was like a really old person who had like poor eyesight. That's not that rare. Well, if it saves a few lives, right, do it. I mean, why not even go a bit further? And if there's any question around your eyesight, being anything short of 20/20, and you drive, and you're a driver, you have to get it checked every 10 years or something. I don't know. But yeah, so drivers over 17 to face compulsory eyesight tests, I suppose it's good. It saves a few innocent lives. All right, what else have we got? The Guardian. Oh, The Guardian. Harry, The Guardian. Must we? Yes, we must. It's one of the biggest papers in the UK. All right, so they go with Maduro says he's a prisoner of war and denies all charges in US court. Yeah, so he's saying he's innocent. I wonder, it will be interesting to see what his actual defence team, exactly what they're going to go with. So he's pleaded innocent. So we'll see whether he'll sort of claim, whether he'll do anything beyond saying, I just don't recognise the court. Because I suspect that just absolutely won't work for a start. So there's that. If they go for anything beyond that, to actually try and disprove the evidence of the prosecutors, we'll obviously have to see how it all plays out. But if his defence team will try and say, no, that's not true, here's evidence to show that that's not true, I never did X, Y, Z that you're claiming I did, da, 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 da. But I think if the DOJ, well, if the DOJ is to be believed, I think the evidence will be gigantic and overwhelming, you know, years and years and years worth. Well, what did he get in 2013, I think it is, if memory serves, around then, when Chavez died. So, you know, well over 10 years worth of evidence. There'll be lots of Venezuelans, expat Venezuelans, that would have been, and other people, the State Department, would have been documenting it all along. So we'll see. The Southern District of New York are sort of famous. That's why he's being prosecuted there. Like, a lot of mafiosos get prosecuted there, and a lot of, I think El Chapo was prosecuted there, people like that, because it's sort of famous, isn't it, for being sort of incorruptible. I don't know, you know, how true that is exactly, but nonetheless, they're supposed to be cleaner than clean, whiter than white, everything done perfectly by the book, and if you're convicted there, it's just, it's sort of a safe conviction. That's the idea. We'll see. Okay, what else have they got? Greenland attack would end NATO, says Denmark. Now, I've got absolutely nothing against Denmark, right? Absolutely nothing at all. It looks like, I've never been there, but it looks like an absolutely beautiful country. The people, the native people of Denmark, seem absolutely lovely people. Very, very polite and civilised people, right? So I've got nothing against Denmark. Let's get that clear. Denmark can do nothing to stop Donald Trump if he wants to take Greenland. Right? Their Navy, Air Force, military power of Denmark is tiny. I mean, Denmark is quite small. So if Trump and the State Department and the Pentagon and the Chiefs of Staff want to take Greenland, there's nothing Denmark can do about it. I'm not saying it's fair. That's not fair, is it? But there you go. I mean, Denmark can moan all they want, but I mean, Denmark, the Kingdom of Denmark, their claim over that massive bit of land, Greenland, that's not written in stone, is it? Like, Keir Starmer said the other day, I think yesterday, he said that the only people that should be able to determine Greenland's future is Greenland themselves. And Denmark, they're the only people who can do it. Well, I mean, Denmark, come on. Like, just because they claimed it a few centuries ago. I mean, you can say, like, all colonial, according to wokeists and leftists, all colonialism is terrible, right? All colonialism is wrong. But in this case, because it's against Trump, Denmark's colonial claim to Greenland is legit and totally written in stone. Come on, come on. I mean, I think that, because there are, you know, actual indigenous peoples, not very many, but there are indigenous peoples of that, of the Greenland landmass, right? The population of Greenland is tiny, something like 56, 57,000 people. That's it. For the entire, that's like a small town. It's like a medium-sized town in the UK or the US, at most. In fact, there are medium-sized towns with bigger populations than that. So, in other words, Greenland has got a tiny, tiny population. And I believe most of them are sort of either Danish expats or a Danish admixture of the indigenous peoples of Greenland. And, of course, the indigenous people. I'm not sure if they're Inuits. Is that the right word? Probably not. But you know what I mean, the actual indigenous people there. So I'm thinking, like, they're the people that have got the actual claim to that land, right? The actual indigenous, original peoples of Greenland before Denmark or anyone else ever went there. So I feel like, you know, they've got a legitimate claim to say to Donald Trump, you've got no right to just annex us. I feel like Denmark is like an extra... think, again, no shade thrown at Denmark. I know we've got a few Danish fans. Got a couple of Danish Twitter followers myself. Nothing against Denmark, but Denmark are claiming that, like, NATO, this will ruin NATO. The US is NATO. You're not NATO, Denmark. I mean, you're in it, you're an ally, but the main power, the main force in NATO is the US. Right? Without the US, NATO would either collapse or shrink to like a tiny fraction of what it is. So for Denmark to say that NATO will be done, it will be over if America does this. Well, no, it won't. Well, it won't. It's up to the US to see that NATO exists and continues. So, right, and Denmark have also said they'll appeal to NATO if, you know, one NATO member ally attacking another. It can't happen, it can't be. Well, it can. It could. Again, I'm not advocating for it. I would rather America left Greenland alone. Let's be clear, that's my personal feeling. They are just trying to steal the materials, the minerals in Greenland, aren't they? That's what it really is. That's what it really is, isn't it? There's materials and minerals in Greenland, whether it's like oil, rare earths, or metals, all sorts of things. Greenland is like resource rich. And Trump, or the US, think, they may well be right as well, I don't know, but they calculate that it's in their national interest to effectively own Greenland. So that's in the news a fair bit, the whole Greenland affair, the Greenland story, the Greenland angle. Right, Financial Times. Investors profit as Maduro faces court. Some of the under-headline things are Venezuelan bonds, I guess it's US bonds, government gilt-edged bonds, I guess they're talking about that. Venezuelan bonds surge while US energy shares rise. Well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, because despite the fact that there is suggestions, or more than suggestions, that this whole thing was a bit illegal under international law, the fact is that Maduro and his socialist government were ruining that country and the economy. I mean, just sort of systematically so. And so, to have him removed, the markets are reacting in a positive way. Free markets don't really like communist dictators very much, and vice versa. They're not really good bedfellows. So to have him removed, the markets are like, oh great, okay, maybe we will buy some Venezuelan government bonds, gilts. Maybe we will. And the energy markets, oh, maybe those billions of barrels worth of crude oil, some estimate like $1 trillion worth of crude oil sitting under the ground in Venezuela, maybe the free markets will get their hands on at least some of that at some point. So it's something perhaps worth investing in. You know, it's pretty straightforward stuff, isn't it? I used to work at an oil commodities trading company. I wasn't a trader, though. I want to make that clear. I'm not claiming I was ever an actual trader on a trading desk. But I worked closely with those guys. I did work closely with those guys. I won't bore you with too much for the details, but working with the brokers to make sure the traders weren't... make sure the traders were doing everything legit. Nonetheless, even though I wasn't a trader, still just did look at and talk about what moved oil prices all day, every day, for like a year or two, however long I worked there. So, I know a fair bit about a sort of oil trading, a little bit. And of course, it's not like on Saturday afternoon, 3 hours after Maduro has been captured, suddenly Venezuela is pumping out hundreds of thousands of fresh barrels of of crude, right? That's not the case. It's not how it works. It'll take time for that to happen. But nonetheless, the markets can move quickly. They will move right away, right? They factor it in real time, sort of straight away. So even before actual barrels of crude are being shipped around the world. That's how it works. Okay, what else do they say? Deposed leader tells judge he is a kidnapped president. I mean, yeah, sort of fair enough, isn't it? I mean, where's the lie there? Apparently the judge in New York was, as you can imagine, was like, yeah, I don't care about that. That's not even what we're talking about today. I just need you to confirm your name and enter a plea. I don't want any speeches. Don't tell me about any of that yet. You'll get your time in court to talk about that. This is not what we're doing today. Right, your defence lawyers at some later stage will get to make the case about the legitimacy of everything, including your abduction. Okay. China and Russia rebuke Washington at UN meeting. Yeah, sure they do. You would think so. I mean, Russia, particularly Russia, was something of an ally of Venezuela. China less so, but still a bit. You know, it's a classic, still like a classic Cold War, like having blocks of nations. Not exactly like the Cold War, you know, we have moved on from those days. But to an extent, the same thing kind of still applies, isn't it? You've got sort of spheres of influence. China's got its own one, Russia's got its own one, the United States has got its own one, right? And so Venezuela was firmly, obviously, not in the US sphere of influence, and it was sort of kind of in the Russian one, and a little bit in the Chinese one. So, right, so it's in their national interest that Maduro sat where he was, because it was a thorn in the US's side. So to have him just removed, to have Trump do this bit, little bit of executive action, of course it's going to annoy them slightly. Their power has been ever so slightly reduced on the world stage. So, yeah, they're not going to be happy with that. A Danish premier warns on Trump's Greenland plans. I mean, it's just not a fair fight. If, you know, if it came down to it, an actual military confrontation, don't get me wrong, I don't think that's going to happen. But that's the ultimate line in the sand, isn't it? If there was a military confrontation between Denmark and the US. So the Danish Prime Minister is in no real position to warn Trump of anything, I'm afraid. Right? The same goes for the UK, right? If Trump started doing stuff that was really, really screwing with our country, well, actually, we have got nukes, haven't we? That we buy from the US, Trident. There's not many countries that can really stand up to the United States at all, in a military sense. Even China. I mean, that's probably for another day when Taiwan is back in the news, but I'm sure we'll talk all about that. All right, what's here? What else have we got? The Metro. Oh, if anyone who doesn't know, the Metro is a free newspaper in London, and outside train stations and tube stations. They just pile them up and they're free. It's quite thin. There's not much to it, but they're free. So you see them all over trains. And but a lot of people read them simply because it is free, right? If you haven't got a paper or your phone, you haven't got a phone or your phone doesn't work or something or other, or you can't get reception inside the tunnels, you may as well pick up a Metro and just have a quick flick through it. But it's insanely woke. It's really, really bad. It's like The Guardian, but kind of worse. It's one of the worst. It's really one of the absolute worst ones in terms of sort of the message, you know, in terms of sort of anti-white, anti-British, anti-Western, pro-globalisation, all that stuff, all the stuff, all the things. The Metro has just got in spades. So they ask, who's next? Right, their editorial decision here is obviously not to look at the actual crimes of Maduro, to ask the question of, you know, whether he should answer for his crimes and all his crimes. No, just Trump's the baddie. Just as simple as that. Classic Metro. Okay, Daily Mail. The Daily Mail goes with Greenland raid will finish NATO. Trump is warned. I don't see it. I'm not buying it. Again, in essence, NATO is the United States. The leader of Denmark claiming that he'll appeal to NATO to help protect him, his interests in Greenland. What, you're going to appeal to NATO that is largely funded by the US and all that, most of their hardware is like US stuff? It's like, I think of an analogy where a father is caning a child, whipping a child, and the child says, "You better stop that or I'll tell my father on you." It doesn't make sense. That doesn't make any sense, does it? That's an absurd thing. Okay. Starmer risks a rift with US president by backing Danish PM. Yeah, so apparently Sir Keir Starmer has come out and said, well, I said earlier, didn't I, that he backed the Danish PM on that, said that, you know, that's right, it would be beyond the pale and wrong or whatever if Trump just, you know, unilaterally took Greenland. I mean, what can you say? He made a political decision there to do that. Who knows whether he's right or wrong? I mean, it's not entirely wrong, is it? I do think it would be. It'd certainly be unfair, but it would be a bit egregious just to sort of unilaterally take Greenland, wouldn't it? I think, right? With the Maduro thing, I feel like it's just or even righteous because he was a terrible man, putting loads and loads of people into misery and penury. But Greenland, they're not hurting anyone, are they? They're not hurting anyone. It would just be a case of straight up theft if Trump did that, in my opinion. But Starmer's sort of, he's got some internal worries, hasn't he? Because a lot of people in his own party have said, tried to condemn him, thrown shade at him for not being strong enough, in his words, about the Venezuela thing and the Maduro thing. They would like to have seen him come out and really sort of slung some mud at the Donald for that one, which he didn't. So maybe he's thinking, oh, well, this one, the Greenland thing, I can be a bit stronger in my wording. Okay, already 8:30, bloody hell, where did time go? Let's move on a bit more quickly then. So the Mirror, tyrant captured by a lunatic. Okay, one president in cuffs, but fears Trump's set to launch new missions. Well, yeah, as I say, you know, I feel like, and this is just my gut feeling here from everything I've read over the last few days, and just general sort of knowledge. I feel like if there's anyone on Trump's list that's properly next, it's Colombia. If I was the Colombian leader, well, Trump told him to watch his ass, didn't he? That was literally the quote, watch your ass. And someone said, would you sort of do a Maduro-style raid on Colombia? And Trump said, sounds good to me. If I was the Colombian fella, I'd be a little bit worried. I would be a little bit worried, to be perfectly honest. Okay. The Independent go is with cuffed but defiant. Maduro faces US rough justice. Yeah. I mean, it's not quite the frontiers justice that Osama bin Laden got, or a couple of other people, some of the ISIS leaders and things, where the special forces team isn't there to apprehend you. They're there to riddle your torso and head with bullets. So it is sort of rough justice, isn't it? But it's not the full-blown just end you on the spot sort of thing. But there you go. The Sun. All right, so The Sun goes with the Man United thing. I mentioned the Man United thing. Back in the day when I was a kid or a teenager, I was massively into football. Or when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, football was a massive part. I'm an Englishman, you see. Massive part of my life. Loved playing football, loved watching football, loved talking about football, loved reading about old football stats, the whole thing. Just loved football. And in those days, in like the 1990s, Man United was so good. They dominated. They were so good. Like, they did the triple. They won Europe. Remember Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, super sub, coming on. They won the Premier League loads of times. Just win the FA Cup just easily, year after year, almost. They were so good. But in the last, like, quite a few years now, to be fair, or since Alex Ferguson left, they're just not any good anymore. It's weird. It's almost like difficult to be as crap as they are in a way. Like Man City's way better than them. Liverpool's way better. Like, yeah, Man United is somehow kind of crap these days. And anyway, their latest manager, they've just fired him because this season so far they're doing crap again. Pardon me. And So yeah, that's the story. The Sun has decided that's front page story today. I do beg your pardon for the frog in my throat. I'm a tiny bit ill. Trying to slog through it. Okay, so that's the Star. Okay, the Star goes with Man United as well. The Star say, classic the Star. They're saying it's only 2000-1 that Trump will be the next Man United manager. I mean, 2001 is still an insane long shot, but to put it in some perspective there, Leicester City won the Premiership a few years back. What was it, 3 or 4 years ago? I can't remember. And at the beginning of that season, they were 5,000-1 to win the Premiership, and did. So, in other words, crazy, crazy long shots do happen, but come on. Trump being the manager of Man United, like now as well, like in the next few days, becomes the manager. That's classic front page from the Daily Star, isn't it? There you go. The Eye Paper, what are they saying? Over 70s face driving ban for failing new eyesight test. Yeah, so they decided that was important. The Daily Express, new warning over hidden danger of salt in diet. So yeah, as I said earlier, didn't I? Sometimes one or two of the papers will just go with something completely different. So the Express decided that the Maduro thing appearing in court in New York and entering a not guilty plea, that's not sort of front page news, but the idea that we're eating too much salt is. It's probably fair, actually. Most people's diets are pretty crap. I mean, mine's not amazing. It's all right, right? I'm not morbidly obese yet, but people probably do eat too much salt, don't they? Probably eat too much sugar. Most people eat way too much sugar. So anyway, I'm not a dietitian. All right, let's see. Let's have a quick run through some of the websites then, see what else we've got going on in the world. All right, so the BBC. Venezuelan opposition leader, Mercado, praises US action against Maduro. Oh, well, of course she does. It's in her interest too, isn't it? So, yeah. I'm interested to actually see, and it's only really starting to trickle out now, how the average person, sort of the average person, the general feeling amongst the average population of Venezuela feel about it. Because the powers that be will always, like the US, I mean, will always want to paint it as though it's a completely loved liberation. It's like the Allies entering Holland in 1944. Everyone just loves them, and it's just women with flowers and kisses and nothing else. Right, how they wanted to try and paint the 2003 Iraq invasion. You know, there's famous images, aren't there, of people pulling down Saddam statues. So it's like, oh, everyone loves this. We've done the right thing. But it turns out not everyone at all feels that way. So I'm interested in see what the average Venezuelan thinks. I'm not just interested in what some lefty news organ, they pick one vox pop off the street saying, this is terrible, we hate Donald Trump for doing this. I'm not interested in that. I'm interested in what will become clear over the coming weeks, the real feeling amongst Venezuelans. But we'll see. Okay, what have they got? I'm a prisoner of war, says Maduro. Yeah, right. Chris Mason, Starmer's strategy of avoiding criticising Trump over Maduro. Yeah, I look into that strategy. I mean, it's probably not in Starmer's best interest, politically speaking, to rock the boat too much, is it? Let's be honest. Like, Hegseth, Rubio and Trump are going to do what they're going to do. So how does it help Britain or Starmer himself, his sort of personal relationship with the Donald, if he just came out really bellicose, slinging loads of insults at Trump and all that sort of thing? It's not in his political interest to do that. Manchester Arena families say MI5 must be fully included in new law on cover-ups. Yeah, Manchester Arena obviously talking about the Islamist, was it Salman Abedi? Blew up a load of young people at an Ariana Grande concert a few years back. I think I'm pretty sure he was known to MI5. Electric car discounts are unsustainable, warns industry group. Don't really care. Okay, next one is the C. ITV News. What are they going with? Inside Italy's toxic town where children grow up fearing cancer. Toronto is more than 1,000 miles away from Corby, Northamptonshire, where families living near a steelworks have suffered similar struggles. All right. I mean, that's... Toronto, is that right in... Is that right in the south of Italy? Right in the heel of Italy, is that? Right, someone in the comments can let me know. I think it's there. Yeah, there's certain places, there are certain towns, aren't there, where the nearby industry sort of pollutes the town one way or another. Yeah, terrible. I'm not sure if it's really top of the news, but there you go. ITV News have decided they're going with that. More Maduro things. What else have we got besides Trump and Maduro? Who are the victims of the Swiss bar fire? Apparently they've all been sort of identified now. Claire's, this is in the news a bit today in Britain, Claire's accessories and the original factory shop collapse into administration. I mean, I buy lots of hair accessories myself, so it's a real blow to me personally. I've always got to buy new scrunchies and hair clips myself. Don't know about you. No? Nothing? Tough crowd. Okay. Claire's has collapsed. Anyone in Britain has seen there's always Claire's on the high street. So, yeah, they've collapsed. All right, let's see what we've got. Channel 4 News, super, super woke. Yeah, oh yeah, I looked at this, scrolled down this, and it's just story after story after story of how terrible and wrong Trump is for having done this. There you go, that's the editorial decision they decided to make. They've even trotted out John Bolton there. John Bolton, who's currently standing trial, I believe. Well, he is. For disclosing state secrets, which he shouldn't have done. We'll see that. If and when, or when, that comes up in the news, I'll be covering that for sure. I despise John Bolton, and I really hope he spends a lot of, well, perhaps the rest of his life in prison, but we'll see. They've trotted him out. He says Trump is making a mess of Venezuela operation. Of course, John Bolton will say that. John Bolton hates Trump with every fibre in his body now. I mean, John Bolton was in the first Trump administration, but they fell out quite acrimoniously. And for years now, they've been like bitter, bitter enemies, slinging as many insults at each other as they can. So of course John Bolton pipes up at this moment in time to say Trump's doing the wrong thing. All right, what have we got? Sky News. Let's go to Sky News. Trump, quote, very serious, quote, about taking Greenland as gunfire heard in Venezuelan capital. Yeah, in the next few days or the next week or so, we'll see if there will be sort of factional fighting, actual fighting on the streets of Caracas or in Venezuela over who gets to be in power and how, you know, amongst actual Venezuelans, we'll see how the US responds, pardon me, responds to that. Okay. Oh, yeah, some guy confronted or shouted, I mentioned, didn't I, someone heckled Maduro from in court in New York, and Sky News have met the man who did that. So there you go. Government eye testing for the over 70s again. A Chagos deal suffers humiliating defeats in the Lords, which is nice because I think the Chagos Island deal is not in our British national interest. Even the Chagos Islanders themselves didn't want it. They were protesting outside the Foreign Office or whatever, saying, don't do this, this is mad. It's not in anyone's interest. Well, it's in China's interest. That's whose interest it's in. So it's been defeated in the Lords, but that doesn't really mean anything, I'm afraid. Oh, I mean, ultimately, it doesn't mean anything because the Lords can defeat a Commons bill like a few times, two or three times or something, and then the Commons have got the legal right to just force it through and make it law anyway. So all the Lords can really do is sort of wag their finger a bit and sort of tut and shake their head a bit. And ultimately, it's much more complicated than that. But the Lords actually can't properly veto the Commons. So it's still going to go through despite the Lords not backing it. But there you go. Three major pension reforms happening in 2026. What you need to know. Okay, won't go into that into detail. All right, let's see. What have we got? What other ones have we got? Is it the Mail Online? Okay, yeah, in Britain, temperatures... Oh, bloody hell, it's quarter two. Let's crack on. Temperatures in the UK have plummeted even further. I mentioned that yesterday. It's getting worse. The snowstorms and blizzards are moving south. Be warned. It could be snowy and blizzards. And there's probably even more people today watching this who should be in work, or their kids should be in school, but they're not, because it's actually a bit treacherous outside, or schools like actually just close, don't they? Often, especially primary schools. Don't necessarily blame them either, don't get me wrong. The Express runs with a Prince Harry story. Anyone who doesn't know, there's a big rift between Harry and, well, both the King and the Prince of Wales. See if that will ever get fixed. Story here about Shamina Begum. Keir Starmer must grow a backbone fast and tell Europe to get lost over Shamina Begum. So a reasonably based take from The Express there, saying, because Shamina Begum has launched another appeal to come back to Britain. I think she's done. I think legally she's done. That our Supreme Court, our Home Secretary and the Supreme Court decided to strip her of her citizenship. That was appealed all the way up to the Supreme Court, and they found that the government was allowed to do that. And so she's had her appeal. It's over. I think, I'm pretty sure, that's it. We don't have to take her back regardless of what any European court says. I think that's the case. Now, nonetheless, she's launched another appeal, and at least The Express here is saying, yeah, there's no way we should be let back, you know. Despite what someone like Peter Hitchens weirdly would say, that we should let her back. Weirdo. Okay, The Sun go with Man United. And apparently there was a crossover between Coronation Street and Emmerdale. I never watched either of those. I've never ever watched a full episode from beginning to end of either Coronation Street or Emmerdale in my life. So I couldn't care less about this, but apparently there was a crossover episode yesterday, and loads of people watched that. So there you go. I'm not a soap opera fan. I don't really watch any TV. Certainly not soap operas, but there you go. Okay, shots fired, cold weather. All right, let's move on. So let's go to America real quick. The New York Times. Trump's foray into Venezuela could embolden Russia and China's own aggression. Well, yeah, it's a fair point, isn't it? It's not often the way it actually works, to be perfectly honest. It seems in recent decades, anyway, that one of the big countries makes a big move and the other one goes, oh, you can just do stuff, oh, I will then. It's not usually really how it works. You know, like Russia goes into Grozny or something and China thinks, oh, well, we'll just fully annex Tibet now or something. You know, it's not really how it works. Or America goes into Iraq and Afghanistan and suddenly Russia and China or France or someone. Germany or the UK suddenly go, oh, they can do that. We're going to go and do something, some foreign adventure too. It's not usually how it works, but still, nonetheless, it's not an insane point, is it? It's not really wrong to say that it might embolden Russia and China in various ways. Yeah, okay, that's what the New York Times led with. What about the, is this the Washington? Yeah, this is the Washington Post. Goes with Maduro making first court appearance, says US kidnapped him. Yeah, okay, as you can imagine, the United States go all over it in their news. US overhauls childhood vaccine schedule, recommending fewer shots. Yeah, I haven't heard much from RFK recently. Have you? Because he was supposed to be like the massive anti-vaccine dude. That was like his whole thing, wasn't it? I think that was the reason why Trump had him in government, is to be like the massive sort of anti-pharmaceutical type person. But still, it is still obviously going on. It is still a battle. What else have they got? Emails outline potential cuts affecting thousands of FEMA disaster responders. Oh, yeah, the US FEMA organisation. Looks like there'll be lots of cuts to that, but maybe for the best. Some people think FEMA is really quite a sinister organisation. Haven't really got time to go into that today. All right. What's this? The LA Times. I have noticed that the LA Times is quite bad for slop, it seems to me. Anyone out there wanna go toe-to-toe with me on that one? It seems like a pretty poor news organ, if I'm honest. You know, on the level of, like, the Mirror or the Star. You know, it seems eminent. It looks pretty swish. But it's actually, like, not much better than... It's bad. Okay, Southern California is about to get a break from the rain. How long will it last? Yeah, they often talk about just the weather or American football. That sort of thing. All right, not particularly serious. All right, we're going west. So Japan, the Kyoto News. Yeah, there was an earthquake in Japan, but there'll be no tsunami. It's not like a big tsunami type event. But there's been an earthquake in Japan. I don't think a great deal of number of people have died or anything. You know, there's certain places. Britain is blessed by not having, well, we do have tiny, tiny, tiny little earthquakes that barely register and no one really feels anything. But there's certain places in the world that are just earthquake zones, aren't there? I mean, we're waiting for a big one in California, actually, aren't we? Well overdue, a giant earthquake in, like, San Francisco or Southern California around there. But Japan, obviously, or famously, well, the whole Pacific Rim is sort of earthquake territory, isn't it? One way or another, broadly speaking. Let's talk about baseball a bit there in Japan. Okay. The Xinhua news outlet in China. God knows how that's pronounced. Xinhua. I think X is pronounced like a Z. Or it's more like a Z sound. Xinhua. Is that racist? Am I being racist to even do an attempt a Chinese accent? Either way, I'm pronouncing it terribly. I'm pronouncing it wrong, whatever I say. Okay, now, this news outlet is interesting. They basically do just really, really big up China the whole time, almost like across the board, how great their economy is. Like, nearly all the stories are like, China's economy is brilliant. China just did this brilliant thing. It's like much more overt of sort of a state propaganda organ, much more sort of obviously so. Okay. Russia, TASS, the Russians. What are the Russians talking about today? US is not at war with Venezuela, Trump says. All right. About 200 US servicemen were in Caracas in capture of Maduro, says Hegseth. Erdogan discusses Venezuela, Gaza and bilateral relations with Trump. Russia bans entry of 28 Canadian supporters of neo-Nazism, MFA announces. I'm not exactly sure what the MFA is, but obviously it's a Russian state organisation of some type, I think. Pardon me. Switzerland freezes assets of Venezuela's Maduro and his inner circle. That's interesting. Didn't see any of that in British or US news when I was looking earlier this morning. But Russia tells us that. They've all got Swiss bank accounts, I imagine. I guess that's what that is. So the Swiss have got the nod from, again, the powers that be. You can just seize those assets. Cheeky bastard. Oh, God, I've got to stop swearing. Sorry. Anyone listening to this with kids in the room, I do apologise. Got to stop it. Europe to face collapse if it stops rearming, says the Polish Prime Minister. I mean, in what sense face collapse? I mean, what do you mean? What are you talking about there? Nonsense. Okay. Putin welcomes return of flag and anthem to Russian Paralympians. Okay, don't care. Let's move on. What have we got next? Oh, Bild. It's on the Independence website, but it's actually stories from Bild. That's the main German outlet. What are the Germans talking about? They're saying, German jet scrambled to intercept Russian spy plane, report says. So every now and again in Britain, we get a story that the Russians have sent a spy plane near Scotland or into the North Sea, or they've sent a spy ship into sort of the North Sea somewhere. And there's like a very, very minor furore about it. Well, it's not just the UK that the Russians bugger with. They also do it, well, to all their neighbours, really. But this is in the German news that the Russians sent a, a spy plane a bit too close to Germany for Germany's liking. So there you go. What's this? Baby elephant? What is this? Wildlife charity faces damages claim over elephant project in Africa linked to 12 deaths. Oh, that sounds sad. I love elephants. Who doesn't like elephants? It's like not liking dogs. It's like not liking puppies or something, isn't it? Oh, that's sad. What else have they got? Netanyahu is testifying in his corruption trial and has been dogged by scandal for years. Yeah, that's another thing. I've said it before a number of times. Bears repeating. Netanyahu is has been for ages embroiled in loads and loads of really quite different scandals. And some say that a lot of his wars and aggression are all to sort of take attention away from that, or even to make sure he can't be prosecuted because it's a time of war and stuff like that. It's all very, very murky and shady. We should do a decent in-depth segment on it on the main Lotus Eaters podcast at some point, or even when it's like the main thing in the news one day, I'll talk about it in depth on that day. Okay, because we're getting very, very close to the top of the hour. Okay. Well, there's one story here I thought was interesting. China has deported a Volkswagen executive for allegedly using drugs while in Thailand. Okay. Not really a big story, but salacious and kind of interesting nonetheless. All right, let's finish up with the frogs. The French. Le Monde. And what are Le Monde saying? They say, with the Venezuela operation, Marco Rubio is at the heart of the reshaping of the Western Hemisphere. I mean, yeah. So it's Trump, Rubio at the State Department, and Hegseth at the Pentagon. Right, if there is a true inner sanctum of power, it's those three guys. Right, obviously Trump is the top man, the decider. That's often what the president has been called, the decider. People come to him, his men, all the president's men will come to him with various options of what to do, and he's the decider. George Bush Jr. liked to think of himself as the decider. But nonetheless, so in other words, the buck stops with the president. He's got the final yes or no, the final green light on things. Beyond that, the most powerful men, it's really Hegseth and Rubio, isn't it? They're the next top most powerful men. And I suppose it is fair to say they're reshaping the Western Hemisphere. By that, I suppose they mean the West, i.e. North and South America, basically. Yeah, it's like the Don, like I said before, the Donroe Doctrine. A poor pun on the Monroe Doctrine. But yeah, the United States wants to, and kind of does, doesn't it, if it really, really wants to, dominate the future of all the countries in Central and South America. If they really insist they're going to do that, and they want to do that, they can. So, yeah, that's kind of true, isn't it? What else are the French talking about here? More Venezuela stories. Anything else of note? No. Okay. All right. I think we'll bring the show to an end there. It's just on one of my clocks. Anyway, it's just turned 9 a.m. So, let us know in the comments all your thoughts and things. Oh, I do apologise. I was told yesterday that I have to read out or should really read out super chats. I don't know if we've got time to, or should I really, really quickly try and run through some. On Rumble Rants, it says, Kalergi says, China number one, spelt in a funny Chinese accent way. Kalergi also says, to think in 30 years or so, I'll be telling my grandkids I was there on the front lines watching Bo's second morning of the breakfast show, having watched the first morning the day before. Wild. Yeah. You're part of a glorious band, the chosen few. You are the breakfast club. Bo's breakfast club. That's got a ring to it. I just came up with that just then. How about that? Bo's breakfast club. That's you. That's you guys making this happen. All right. On YouTube, what have we got? Little Tesla 9733 says Keir Starmer is a wanker. That's a mild swear word, isn't it? Still, try and keep it clean, people. It's breakfast. There could be kids listening. someone else's name. I probably shouldn't read it out. It's sort of got a swear word in it, but they say you are looking dapper like the tire. Oh, cheers, cheers. Yeah, it's a nice tire actually. The camera looks like it's showing it up lighter red than it really is. In real life, it's actually quite a dark burgundy red. But yeah, cheers. Thanks, I appreciate that. Okay. Moon in UK says, good morning, Bo, and good morning, beautiful people. They're here all week, people. Here's some dollars. Oh, what is it? Kyle Vernon said, here's some dollars. You'll be needing these soon. Okay, thanks. Cheers, appreciate that. Dylan Lindsay 6794 says, Bo, for you, the day that Bo graced your screens with Breakfast with Bo was the most important day of your lives, but for me, it was Monday. Okay. Last one, Nosy Bastard. Again, these can't avoid swear words this morning, Harry. Just can't avoid them. I've said it now. Nosy Bastard says, it's just put an at. So, okay. All right, so I read out the Super Chats. I've got to make sure to leave time going forward. 5 minutes at the end to read out Rumble Rants and YouTube Super Chats. All right, so that's the day. Enjoy the rest of your day. It's the first day of the rest of your life. Try and make it count. Right, you've got a finite number of them. I don't want to be too depressing. But you haven't got endless time on this earth. So try and make it count. All right, with that, I shall see you tomorrow morning.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.